So here in Psalm 23, the scripture says, this is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. And David says plainly, I'm a sheep and I need a shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And indeed, when we fellowship with our Lord and fellowship with the saints, and we are fed by the word of God, and the Lord gives us help and strength and grace and mercy in time of need and in just so many ways, when we get near to the Lord, indeed, our cup will run over. As Brother Doug mentioned in his Sunday school class, if I look to me, my cup will get empty. But if we're near to the Lord, as James admonishes us and it says that we would draw near, he says, draw near unto the Lord, draw nigh unto the Lord, and he'll draw nigh to you. When we get close to the Lord and draw nigh to the Lord, indeed our cup will run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He knows that this is the case because of what the Lord's doing for him and has done for him, what the Lord's promised him, how the Lord has been faithful in every way. With the Lord at hand, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And for the saints, we will, won't we? We'll be in the Lord's house forever. Verse number 4, and I just recall that there was some of the membership of the church that had maybe even mentioned about this. And so just thankful for the Lord's blessings and being stirred to look at this again this morning. In verse number 4, it says here, the psalmist writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What we'd like to look at and consider here this morning is this question, how are you walking through the valley of the shadow of death? How are you walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning. And we pray that you'd help us in every way and take me out of the way. Speak through me, Father. Just speak to us through your word and minister to us. We rejoice in you, Father, and we praise your name and all that you've done and all that you've promised, all that you're doing. And we pray, Father, for sinners at hand that are without Christ. We pray you'd save them and help us as your people, Lord, we might rejoice in you and again honor and glorify your name and just lift up our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your blessings in regards to this valley of the shadow of death. And we pray, Father, that you would just help us to see more about it and to work in us in it. And Lord, again, we might worship you. Help now, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The valley of the shadow of death. In Matthew chapter 7, we take a look over here. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. He mentions here in verse number 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The valley of the shadow of death, it's a wide place, it's a wide valley. And as we'll look at more scriptures, you can do anything in the valley of the shadow of death that you want to. Just help yourself and please yourself. Because the valley of the shadow of death is a way of the flesh. It's the way of man. It's just what comes natural to us as mankind. It is a broad way, and it is a way that leads indeed to death. Sin is the problem. Sin is the issue. Sin is what's caused all this. Sin is what's caused this valley to even exist. And how are you walking? How are you walking through this valley? In Matthew chapter 4, our Lord says here, and it's mentioned or the scripture mentions this. The brother Matthew writes this in Matthew 4, verse number 12. Let's look at this. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. John the Baptist was cast into prison by Herod. Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, up there on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Listen, verse 16. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Verse 17. "And from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The valley of the shadow of death is a dark place. And here it refers to Brother Isaiah and what he writes concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that his coming would be that shining of great light. And those people that are there in that region, the people which sat in darkness, see, on the Broadway, you can sit down, you can lay down, you can walk around in a circle, you can just do what you want to do. And that's what people in the valley of the shadow of death are doing. But you know what? When Jesus appeared, when he appeared proclaiming the message that he did, there was great light that did shine. And it says, those people, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. In that valley, it is a dark, deadly place of death. In Luke chapter 1, Brother Zacharias prophesying. I tell you what, he's happy and excited about his son, isn't he? And John the Baptist has been born. And our brother, in verse number 67, he'd been made mute to where he couldn't speak for 9 months or so. Because of what the Lord, his doubting of the angel, the word of the angel of the Lord that appeared unto him. But after John is born, we see and read this here in verse 67 of Luke 1. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying," let's skip down to verse number 79. This is what the mission of John unto the Savior that he would precede would be all about. Verse 79, "to give light to them that sit in darkness." In the valley of the shadow of death, it is dark. And there indeed there needs to be some light, but in that valley it is dark. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." That's what Jesus would come and do. That's what John would proclaim the coming Savior would do. Our brother is referring to Psalm 107. Let's take a look at this. It gives us a little bit different wording here of the same subject about this valley. How are you going through the valley of the shadow of death? In Psalm 107, verse number 8, we read, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Psalm 107, verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." There's a binding that's going on in that valley of the shadow of death. It's dark, it's deadly, and people that are there in that are bound up in affliction, bound up in iron, bound up by sin. It's a terrible, terrible situation and a terrible, terrible place. Verse number 11, "because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High." See, reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, reject the word of God, reject his Savior. Reject his remedy for your affliction, and there you will be. Isn't that what it says? Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction of iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. And I know directly in the context of speaking of Israel, but there's a principle here. Isn't the deliverance of Israel like the deliverance of the sinner? Yeah. It all speaks to the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And that's even Romans 10 tells us about the calling out of the sinner to the Lord for mercy. Our situation is naturally is definitely a bad thing. This valley of the shadow of death is just a terrible, terrible place to be walking through or sitting in or to be found in. Brother Doug in his Sunday school lesson some time ago mentioned about Romans chapter 3. And I want you to turn over there to Romans chapter 3, starting at verse number 10. And I want to read some verses to you as you walk down through the verses there in Romans chapter 3. Here's our situation. Our situation is a bad situation. It's a terrible place to be found in the valley of the shadow of death. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, you read there as I read these passages. Psalm 14:1, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Verse number 11, I'll read to you Psalm 14:2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And what did he find? None. None. Verse number 12. I'll read to you Psalm 14:3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Psalm 53:3. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You consider verse 13. I'll read to you Psalm 5:9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. I'll read on Psalm 140, verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. You consider verse number 14 as I read to you Psalm 10:7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Also, what our Lord Jesus said, as you look at verse number 14 there, he said in Matthew 12, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You consider verse number 15 there in Romans 3, and I'll read it to you Isaiah 59:7. Their feet run to evil. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Consider verse 16 as I read to you Isaiah. Also there in Isaiah 59 verse 7. And then in Isaiah or in Romans chapter 3 verse 17 you consider that. Isaiah 59:8 says, the way of peace they know not. And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. And then consider the last verse, verse 18 there in Romans 3. I'll read to you Psalm 36:1. Again, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. I find it interesting that he writes that there. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. David said, I look on at what the wicked do and said, surely they don't fear God. And it's a terrible place being in the valley of the shadow of death. It's a deadly place. It's a dark place. It's a place of affliction and bondage. It's a place of just a flat out no hope. It's just bad. And you know what the thing is those that are in the valley of the shadow of death, when it really comes down to it, they don't even know that they're there. But it's a bad, bad place. It's a bad, bad place. But you know what? The children of God don't live in death. The children of God have been given eternal life. What a contrast. Man, what a contrast. As the Lord says in John chapter 5, Take a look over here in John chapter 5. Read it for yourself. Know it. Be assured of it and reinforced in it. If you're here and saved, if you're here not saved, look to this. Look at the difference between what the Lord has done for those that have trusted in him, those that he has saved by Jesus Christ. The children of God did not live in death, but been given eternal life. Jesus says in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," present tense, "everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation," coming damnation, "but is passed from death unto life." Not living in that valley. Not living in that valley. Not living in that valley ever, ever again. In 1 John chapter 3, take a look over here in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." See, in the valley of the shadow of death, there's no love. Well, there's human carnal love, there's natural love, but it's really, when it all gets down to it, it's warped, it's self-centered, and it's, in our day and age, the word love's even been changed to something that it's not. But being rescued from the valley of the shadow of death, there's life, and there's love, and there's blessing in the Lord, isn't there? You know, I'm reminded about this, about eternal life, different aspects of eternal life. And let's just remind you, be reminded of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read it. Comforting words. Comforting words about the rapture that we look forward to. What's the rapture unto? Everything about it is life for the child of God. Amen. Everything about it is unto life. Read it. You know it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," those that are dead in Christ, "that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," we hold to that, don't we? Listen. If you're here without Christ, listen. This is what you don't have if you're not saved. You have no hope. But because of Christ and what he's done for we that are saved, this is a hope that we have. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." They're coming back with the Lord. He's not going to leave them off in a pigeonhole somewhere over there in glory. He's bringing those that are asleep in Christ, everybody you've ever known that is dead in Christ, and all the saints that we know that are asleep in Christ from the testimony of the Scripture are coming back with Jesus at that time. He says, will God bring with him?" Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them that which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." See, everything about eternal life, everything about the rapture is bent towards life. Those whose bodies have been buried, but their souls are alive with the Lord, even that of their body will be raised from the dead. It's all about life. Death is done. "Then we which are alive," verse 17, "and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Hi, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We'll get to see him with our eyes. We'll be able to be in his presence with him forever, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That is a comfort, isn't it? See, if you're living in the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have that comfort. You don't have that hope. You don't have that rest. Eternity with an incorruptible body, as these have been brought up from the grave, and we who are alive and remain, as I understand it, will be translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that resurrection, the gospel is defined, but 50 verses focus upon the resurrection, this of the resurrection in every way, that Christ is risen from the dead, and he's the first fruits of all those that he saves will raise too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read in verse number 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." There are those there at Corinth that have doubt. I don't believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they have doubt about the resurrection of the saints. And the apostle sets them straight earlier in the chapter, there after verse 8, verses 9, about down to verse number 15 or so. He sets them straight that if Christ is risen from the dead, it's a must that the children of God be raised from the dead. Because see, if the saints don't raise, Jesus hasn't risen. They're inseparable facts. They're inseparable law and work and operation of God. If the dead in Christ, those that are asleep in Christ, don't raise from the dead, then Jesus didn't. And if Jesus didn't, they don't. But we know Jesus did. So indeed, they will do so. And he talks about some other things that are very interesting there, that if the resurrection is not so, our preaching is vain, our faith is vain. We're liars in verse number 15. This whole thing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through him and eternal life, it unravels. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, but we've got hope in Christ not only in this life, but the life to come, don't we? The children of God do not live in death, but have been given eternal life. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read here in verse number 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." Verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Going to be one of two places. We're alive in Christ now, or if we're out of this body, we'll be alive with Christ forevermore. Life. Life. You know, there's two ways to travel through this valley of death. Two ways. See, the unsaved, they are traveling or existing down in the midst of this valley, if you will. How is it that a valley is created? Well, there's usually hills or mountains on each side, isn't there? Hills and mountains on each side, and those that are without Christ, their path in this valley is right down through the valley. Right down through the valley. It's dark. It's deadly. It's a valley of bondage. It's a valley of hatred. It's a valley of sorrow. And you know what? You know what's down at the end of the valley that's casting the shadow? What's down there at the end of the valley, casting the shadow, is death. Death because of sin. It does nothing but cast a shadow in this valley for the whole length of it. The unsaved go down the midst of this valley, never leaving this valley of death. Always abiding in death and heading towards eternal death down there at the end. It is eternal death at the end of this valley that cast its long, terrible shadow. Those without Christ as Savior abide in the valley of the shadow of death, valley of death and its shadow continually. They travel the whole of life in this valley to eternal death that is at its end. And you know what? They do it alone. 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 Those that are without Christ, no matter how much of their family they got around them, are going to die alone. You know what the saved? You know how it is with the saved? For the saved in Christ, they, when they're saved by the Lord, they no longer walk in the valley of the shadow of death. But you know what? They've been saved and they've been rescued to the mountain range of salvation and eternal life in Christ. Remember, to make a valley, there's got to be mountains, there's got to be hills. For the child of God, they don't abide in the valley of the shadow of death anymore, but they're over here on the mountain range of salvation and eternal life in Christ. And, you know, sometimes those mountains and those hills, they kind of dip down some, don't they? And then they go up. We experience hardship and trial. And then we have great blessing and joy and deliverance from our Lord. But once we're saved forever by our Lord, and we have life. We look on at the valley of the shadow of death and we can understand that we've been rescued from it, can't we? We know what sin is. We can see that by the blessing and teaching and instruction and the Spirit of the Lord dwelling within that we need to stay away from sin because that's what's killing us in the first place. We really know what love is because we look to a Savior that He really has loved us, hadn't He? He gave Himself for us. And so for the rest of our time and the rest of our life, we're there on the mountain range of the salvation of our Lord and eternal life in Christ. And there's ups and downs. There's trial and difficulty and hardship on this flesh. But our Lord is with us. From the mountain range of salvation and eternal life, there's ups and downs on that mountain range, but Jesus is there. Walking the rest of this physical life with our Savior. With our Savior. Until one day, because of sin, and one day because we have yet this old mortal man, one day we do have to cross this valley of death one more time. But it's only the shadow that we see. And by our Lord, we cross through this valley one more time to the mountain range of eternity with our Lord. Never to be separated from Him again. Oh yeah, we've got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But we cross it with our Lord. As we refer to it, and as done so in songs, that we cross Jordan, if you will, like the children of Israel crossed Jordan to go to the promised land. We cross that chilling tide. We cross that valley of the shadow of death, down through the valley of the shadow of death, up to the mountain range of eternal glory with Jesus. The saved cross this valley. The unsaved live and die in this valley. The saved have been delivered from this valley. And you know what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me in life and in death. They did not cross this valley alone, the saved. They have their Lord with them, and indeed, their Lord comforts them. How are you walking in this valley? We close by looking at a passage over here in Amos chapter 5. And of course, this prophecy of this man of God is directly to Israel, but I think there's a concept here that just applies. It applies to Israel, it applies to mankind. And in Amos chapter 5, verse number 4, the scripture says in verse number 4, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." How can a man live though he die? Doesn't Job ask that question? It's only by the Lord. Sinner, you need the Lord. And he goes on to say here in verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live." And in verse number 8, the scripture says, "Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion," our Creator, "and turneth," listen, "the shadow of death into the morning." Seek him. Seek him that maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Seek him that turneth the shadow of death into the morning. How are you walking through this valley? Are you walking down it? Are you walking the length of it? Do you evermore live in that shadow of death that's there at the end for you? Eternal death, not only physical death, but eternal death because of your sin, because of your wickedness, because of your disobedience against a thrice holy God. Are you saved? Oh, we'll have to cross it. We'll cross it alone. We'll cross it quickly. And we'll cross it to eternity with our Lord.